Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny, and joining me today via StreamYard, it's your headliner this weekend, Ralph Barbosa. This episode and every other episode is brought to you by Comedy at the Carlson, the only place in Rochester, New York you'll be able to see Gary Gulman May 12th and 13th. Tickets for that show and any other show are available now at carlsoncomedy.com. Registration is now open for the 2023 Funniest Person in Rochester contest. For more information, official rules, or to enter, visit carlsoncontest.com. And now, let's start the show. Our guest today is a comedian you should know. Not only did his set on Don't Tell Comedy reach over a million views on YouTube, he won the 2021 New York Latino Film Festival stand-up competition. You may also recognize him from his performance on HBO's Entre Nos, The Winners 3, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and Comedy Central. Most importantly, he's your headliner here at Comedy at the Carlson this weekend. Welcome to the show, Ralph Barbosa. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Man, it's my pleasure. I hear a little one stirring around. Is that your little guy hanging out with you?
Yeah, he just woke up. We're on Texas time, which doesn't help. It's still late. It's still a late ride, but he just got up and came to bug a little bit.
All right. No bug. He's welcome on the show if he wants to be. You're a Dallas guy, right?
Yes.
Cool. I've been following you for a little bit. I saw your set on Don't Tell Comedy a while back, and I was like, this dude's hysterical. And I've been kind of watching your last few years. And sir, you're like exploding. You're doing really great things.
Oh, I appreciate it. I've been trying to joke as much as I can, and trying to get as many people to listen to those jokes.
Well, you're doing a great job. You have a very interesting stage presence. How long have you been doing stand-up at this point?
About 7 years.
Okay. So you're in your mid-late 20s, right? Like 26, 27?
26.
Okay. So you've been doing this since you were a teenager, and you're having incredible success at it. So congratulations on that. Was it a goal for you, or did you kind of fall into stand-up?
I guess I kind of fell into stand-up. I wanted to be a comedic actor. And okay. I took an acting class at a community college, and the acting teacher had been doing stand-up for a while, and he told me about local open mics I could try. And after that first open mic, I was just like, I just want to do this. I fell in love with stand-up. So I wasn't too big into stand-up growing up, like a lot of people are. You know, I liked it, but I wasn't like a super fan until I got into it, and then I fell in love with it, and then I just became obsessed with it.
Interesting. The goal is acting. Stand-up is kind of like acting, but not really. And yeah. What made you decide that the stand-up would help you with the acting?
Well, when my acting teacher was talking to me, he was kind of letting me know that I kind of sucked at acting, and he was asking me why I wanted to do it. And I told him that it was because I wanted to, you know, be a comedic actor, be some sort of comedian. And, you know, he told me about open mics. And once I tried open mics, I didn't care about acting anymore. I didn't go back to that acting class at all. Like,
you didn't even go back and say thanks for the tip?
I emailed him. I told him that it was probably the greatest advice he had ever given me, because I like instantly fell in love with it, and I was just going to do this instead.
When you first start to do stand-up from acting, obviously, you know, one of the big differences in acting is they hand you a script. In stand-up, you obviously have to write your own script, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to be good at it. How did you approach that out of the gate with no experience? And, you know, I've also heard you in some interviews say that you weren't even really, like, that big of a stand-up guy. You were more of, like, you like to watch movies, like comedic movies, like you said.
I mean, I had already been tempted to try stand-up. While I was taking those acting classes, I had read somewhere this quote by Dave Chappelle where he had said that that if you want to be famous, you should go to LA, and if you want to be a great comedian, you should go to New York. And he said a great stand-up comedian, and that was kind of the first, I guess, domino effect in my mind that made me wonder, like, do I want to be famous? Like, why do I want to be funny? And once I heard about that open mic, like you said, you know, you kind of got to read your own script. I did start trying to write jokes, and I filled up maybe like 6 pages in a notebook. And I went on stage and I kind of just threw out whatever I had wrote. I just kind of started going with whatever was going through my mind. And I bombed horribly. I got like yelled at. But the next day, I just kept thinking about writing again and what I could have done differently. Like, I kept thinking I knew what I did wrong. Okay. And I catched my mistakes. And I think I've always liked that learning process of just kind of jumping in head first and learning as you fail.
Sure.
And that kind of became addicting. You know, that I think that's what hooked me into stand-up, was just the fact that, like, if I just rewrite it, I just kept thinking that if I just rewrite it, if I just say it different, you know, if I just write something new. And yeah, I fell in love with the writing of it, I guess. Just literally writing my own script and retrying it.
It's so interesting that the challenge of it is what hooked you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard a million people tell me that, you know, the first time they got on stage, they got a big laugh, and that laugh is what made them want to pursue comedy. That was such a good feeling to them. But you're telling me that you bombed, and your inspiration was, I could do this better.
Yeah. I didn't go back at it like the very next day, though. It did take me like a few months to build the courage back up.
Okay.
And
so when you say you bombed, though, how hard of a bomb are we talking? Were people getting up and walking out, or was it just,
well, I mean,
not memorable to the people?
I'm pretty sure that I was bombing pretty bad, but it was also hard to tell because the only people that were there were the other two comedians that were going up after me, because it was just like 1 a.m. already by the time they let me go up. You know, it's like 1 a.m. on a Wednesday night or Thursday morning, if you will. And they were just yelling at me because they wanted to go up and leave already. So they're just like, get out of here already. And I'm like, get the hell off the stage. And
oh, that's they really didn't like you then. I got
yeah. And every time I went back to a comedy club after that, because, you know, I was like 19 or so, I was really intimidated by the other comedians. I thought they would probably yell at me too. I also was just kind of afraid being out of my usual element, my usual circle. But eventually I went to a mic where things kind of turned around. I was just so afraid. It was a mic in like a really nice kind of an upper class area. And it was a comedy club called Backdoor Comedy Club, but they had it inside of like a Hilton DoubleTree hotel. Okay. It was real nice. And the first thing that came to my mind when I walked on stage, I was like, man, I'm gonna just say it to the guy in the front row. I was like, man, this guy looks like he called the cops on me already. And okay. I think that was my first laugh on stage. You know, it had been a few months or a few attempts into comedy, but it was the first time that I got a big pop. And that one did just like let me know, like, oh yeah, I could do this. I think that was my first real lesson in comedy, was that honesty, like vulnerability works. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that laugh definitely kept me going. After that, I started going every night instead of every few weeks or every few months. Like there was a lot more courage after that.
I feel like there's a lot of lessons in that. I feel like there's a lot of lessons for young performers there. Like, you know, number one, go with your gut sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
And when it pays off, you know, it's a good feeling, and it, you know, it teaches you to be more in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's a big part of stand-up, you know. It's not just writing the jokes, it's knowing how to present it and be in the moment with a group of people in a room.
Yeah.
I read your bio and I thought it had a wonderful opening. It says you are the shyest attention hog in comedy. Yeah. I'm kind of getting that vibe. You're kind of a low-key guy, Ralph.
Yeah, very much so. Like back in high school, I think half of the classes I was in, I was the class clown, and the other half of the classes, people didn't even think I knew how to speak just because I'd keep my head down all the time. I'm different in every room. I'm usually very quiet, very low key, but once I get comfortable with people, then I'll start to goof around, you know?
Okay. What makes you laugh? What's the kind of stuff that you find funny?
I'm simple, man. I'm like so simple. I laugh at like videos of people falling. I laugh at anything on TV. I laugh at any funny movie. Like, I don't, you know, some people are like, that's not funny. And Adam Sandler fell off. That guy still is hilarious as day one to me.
Okay. Like,
everything.
I love that. I heard a quote from you that I thought was really, really fantastic. I don't want to rehash the whole story, but you talked about watching Norm and learning from Norm Macdonald that jokes are everywhere. You just have to find them.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I forgot about that. But yeah. Yeah, he joked about everything. Like, I think when I realized that, if I remember correctly, it was when I saw the tape from his set on Letterman when the Letterman show was on, like, about to be over already. He made that joke. He had a joke where he's just like, here's one. He's like, ID. I stands for I, and D stands for identification.
It's a great joke.
Yeah, it's a great joke. And it's a very Norm joke, but it is. That's hilarious. But yeah, that kind of made me realize, like, man, if you're running out of stuff to talk about, like, you're just not opening your eyes. Like,
yeah. And that's the thing. That's the lens of a comic, is to be able to look around you and, like, mine out the funny. Just making a simple observation that everybody looks at every day and never thinks about, for some reason, is hilarious.
Yeah.
So it works.
Or even the ones that, like, sometimes are so commonly thought about, people just look it over. They don't even think about it or give it a second thought. The second thought is the funny thought, usually, you know?
Right. It's the second thought that's got the comedic edge and timing to it.
Yeah. Now,
you're doing very, very well. You're touring the country right now. If you weren't doing stand-up, like, what do you think you would be doing, Ralph?
As a kid, I always wanted to either be a comedian or maybe, like, a professional fighter.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm pretty small, so, like, I don't think the fighting one really worked out in my favor. Like, but I don't know. I like painting cars. I like cars a lot. I'd like to be a race car driver.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. But whatever, if I wasn't doing stand-up, I would have probably have been doing something else that would have taken up all my time as well.
Okay. I just think it's so interesting. Like, even when you say race car driver, I'm like, this is a guy who wants to do exciting things.
Yeah.
He's just a soft-spoken guy who really likes the action, is what I'm getting out of you.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. The stage is a real adrenaline rush.
It is. It is. Tell me a little bit about, like, growing up. What was it like for you? You're in Dallas. You love movies. You want to be funny. People think you're quiet. Some people think you're hysterical.
Yeah. As a kid, that's really all I did growing up was joke around. And, you know, the whole, like, wanting to be a professional fighter thing was me and my friends would box each other a lot. We had boxing gloves. Everybody in the neighborhood would meet up at the park to just take turns getting rounds with each other. But it was also very goofy. We were always playing around. Everybody on my block was very close. We always would hang out at each other's houses, joking around, watching movies all night, eating junk food. I think as a kid, I had tons of fun. And I think my adult life is just me trying to recreate the fun all the time, you know, just through comedy or whatever I can do. Just want to keep laughing.
Yeah, and bring it to the people. Do you have a favorite joke you've ever written? Is there anything that you're like, that a joke that you're just, like, super proud of?
There might be, but I would never say.
Are jokes like your kids? You don't want to pick a favorite? Is that what that is? Or you just don't want to spoil it?
Nah, I just don't want to fall in love with them too much.
Okay.
I like watching, like, old Kung Fu movies, and there's this movie. I think I live my life based off of a lot of Bruce Lee quotes.
Okay.
There's this movie where his master asks him, well, what is the highest technique you hope to achieve? And he says, to have no technique. And then you see it a lot in the movies too, where they're just like, your flaw is your love for your technique. You know, that's what keeps you from becoming a better martial artist. So I feel like if I fall in love with my jokes too much, then it's the first step in the wrong direction. So I try not to have a favorite.
That is a lot of wisdom right there.
Bruce Lee taught me how to be a comedian and just like a good person, I think, or a good, like a responsible person.
Okay. I'm going to throw an Enter the Dragon later and just see if I could polish up my technique here, even though I shouldn't have one. You won the 2021 New York Latino Film Festival stand-up competition. After you won that, how did that open doors for you in the world of comedy?
I think it introduced me to a lot of comedians in New York, and it got me, you know, in a lot of doors in New York, which mm-hmm. before that festival, I'd always taken trips out there. I never like officially moved to New York, but I always would go out there for about a month or two. And doing that festival helped me open a lot of doors out there, helped me meet a lot of people, which only helped me get better at comedy, you know, only opened up more stages and things like that. It also, I think it got my name on people's radar within the industry that I probably wasn't even aware of.
Okay.
But yeah, and I think my favorite part about that was that the other comedians in the competition that I was with, it introduced me to them, which now they're like some of my best friends.
It really helped kind of graduate you on to the next level then.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, one thing I like to ask people, especially someone who, you know, you're still in your 20s, things are going right for you, and you're finding yourself at this position where things are growing, and you obviously want to keep them growing. But if you had to look back at your career to this point, is there anything that maybe you feel like you should have changed? Or are there any like regrets or things you would do different? Maybe speed bumps for young comics to look out for?
Not necessarily. I mean, I always put comedy first. You know, there's a lot of times where maybe I should have prioritized my 9-to-5 a little more here and there, because it's okay. What kept my bills going. But at the same time, I mean, comedy worked out, and I cared about it more than anything. I damn near went homeless for it. Like, and it took care of me. Like I just dove in head first. Like, this was it for me. And sometimes I would get discouraged, and I'd be close to quitting. And I might have taken a few breaks here and there for a week or two, mm-hmm. but my only regrets were, I don't know, maybe sometimes I should have gave myself a little more breathing room. Maybe instead of taking a 2-week break from comedy, I should have taken a 3-week break.
Okay.
But yeah, my only advice to any younger comics coming up is, it's, you just got to keep writing, always be writing, always be on stage, just work hard and take a break here and there, you know. It's, you know, yeah. Every time listen to your gut.
Self-care is important, you know. Mm-hmm. It's important to take that time and, you know, get your priorities straight. A lot of comics, you know, we don't all tend to be completely together in all aspects of our lives. So I think that is some really good advice, is to sometimes just to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, I think that everybody's pace is going to be different.
Sure.
I mean, you don't want to take it too slow, don't get me wrong. But also, in like, everybody's production is different. And I feel like I write the most when I feel like my brain is out of balance and just I'm kind of in a good mood. And I saw this quote one time, you know, not that I consider myself too artsy or anything, but I just like this quote. I forgot the name of the person who said it, but it was his artist. He said, the key is not to create art, but the key is to put yourself in a place where art is inevitable. And so I think that, you know, as long as you're always working out your skill, you're always writing, you're always on stage, that's good. You need to keep working those muscles. But at the same time, if you really feel the need to kind of like step away, take a break, do something different outside of comedy for a day or two, like, it helps you get back in the mindset of, so where you can 100% utilize those skills that you're always working on, you know?
Absolutely. You know, that's a great quote, you know, position yourself in a position to be able to create effectively.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is definitely something everyone should keep in mind for all aspects of their life. Ralph, I want to thank you so much for taking the time this afternoon to talk to me, folks. You can see Ralph, 4 shows this weekend here at Comedy at the Carlson. Tickets are on sale now at carlsoncomedy.com. If you want to follow Ralph, I believe you are at RalphBarbosa03. Did I get that right?
Yes. And
you can also check out RalphBarbosaComedy.com.
Yes. Please come to my show.
Come to the show, most importantly. I mean, here's the deal. Ralph's a guy who's on the upswing, people. You want to be there for this one. I'm telling you. This is your buddy Vinny telling you. Now. And we'll be back next week with another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Until then, act right, Rochester. We'll see you at the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.